Morning. Today's daf in Ksivas Lamed Ches. Where Lamed Zayin and Mitbes thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf as well as Zechnish Mas Libra Gabriel Bashmua. Finishing up a next sugya in the third parak of Ksivas. We are started the Mishnah on Lamed Vav Amid Beis regarding those naros that are not subject to Knas. The two reasons why the Mishnah describes women are not subject to Knas, either number one, they're not a Pesula, or they're not presumed to be a Pesula. So the Mishnah gave a variety of scenarios where a woman, due to the circumstances, just simply assumed not to be Ksuva, not to be a Pesula, or the Mishnah says another possibility why there would be no Knas is because together with the Yones, there was also a Chiv Misa. And the Chiyuv Misa coupled together with any type of monetary payment, the Chiyuv Misa is going to override it's going to subsume the monetary payment. This is the rule of Kam Leib D'Rabbi Mineh, one of the more classic rules in throughout Shas, but this is it. This is the daf that discussed this particular halacha. So, for example, the Mishnah gives an example where a man is minus his daughter. So, ones of a daughter, the relations with a daughter is an Issa D'Oraisa, but more than Issa D'Oraisa, it's also a Chiyuv Misa. So the result of that is that the father is Chayav Misa Bide Adam. If there were witnesses and there was a warning, so he'd be subject to Misa. And as a result of that, it's going to also pater from having to pay based on the rule of Kam Leib D'Rabbi Mineh. Where is the source of Kam Leib D'Rabbi Mineh? So that's one of the discussions that we had yesterday in yesterday's daf. So the Mishnah itself gave a source. The Mishnah says that from the pasuk of Lo Yason Anoshi Anesh. Parshas Mishpatim Per Chafal. The Torah there describes two men fighting. So and a woman gets involved in the fight and she gets hit. And if she does not die, the Torah says him Lo Yason. So if she does not die, meaning she was struck, but if she does not die, Anoshi Anesh. So then the perpetrator, the one who hit her, has to pay. But implied in that pasuk is that if she did die, and so that now we're talking about murder, so then there's no payment. And the reason why is because Kam Leib D'Rabbi Mineh. Once he's subject to an Issa D'Oraisa of Mises Bidei Adam, so then he's going to be exempt from having to pay.
So who takes care of her medical stuff?
Right. And correct. In any scenario...
She's dead, though.
In other words, but if there was ever, let me just assume, in other words, in another scenario where there would be an exemption, right? In this case, there's no medical because, but still, in other words, in the case of Malchus, where Malchus is going to be overriding, meaning, generally speaking, right, when Kim Leib D'Rabbi Mineh removes the monetary payment, that means that somebody else is going to be suffering a loss as a result of that. That's absolutely correct. There are a couple of other psukim the Gemara quoted yesterday, which seem to indicate that they're also Kim Leib D'Rabbi Mineh, but the Gemara goes and explains those psukim. So, for example, we had the pasuk yesterday, Lo Sichu Kofel Nefesh Rotzeach. So, what does that mean? Lo Sichu Kofel Nefesh Rotzeach. So, the Gemara says that has nothing to do with Kim Leib D'Rabbi Mineh. That's teaching us that if somebody's on death row, he can't buy his way out of it. There was another pasuk similar, Lo Sichu Kofel Nus El Ir Miklato. The Gemara, excuse me. The Gemara again says it's basically the same thing. If you got to go to exile, you got to go to exile. You can't buy your way out of exile. All right, we're right in the middle of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, picking it up from the... And the Gemara then points out, Srichu said that they're both necessary. Both points are necessary. We're right in the middle of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, and we are beginning with the pasuk of Ula Aretz. And again, we're going to be doing more of this, meaning a couple of other psukim in the Torah, which seem to indicate that you don't die in pay, but the Gemara is going to explain all these psukim. Ula Aretz lo yichaper l'adam asher shufach ba, kim badam shofchal, lamali. Gemara says, you know, it's interesting, we have another pasuk that basically speaks to the same idea. Torah says that the land is not going to forgive for the blood that was spilled, ki im badam shofchal, unless you kill the murderer. Meaning the murderer cannot get out of his out of his punishment. The only way Kadosh Baruch Hu will be quote unquote satisfied, again, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not a person, so not just
atonement.
Right, correct. In order to provide the proper kapara, the only way that happens is that the murderer dies. So lamali, so the Gemara says, why do I need that? Meaning I already have that idea in the pasuk of Lo Sichu Kofer. Lo Sichu Kofel Nefesh Rotzeach. So then why do I have this additional pasuk? So the Gemara says, Mibayla Lechet Detanya teaches me another halacha, which is, Minayim Shenisar Paegla, V'acharkach Nimsa Ahoreg, Minayim Shein Pochen Oso Shenem Olar Tzloi Chaper Lo Demesh Shufach Bar. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what I need it for. Let's say we go through the process of Egla Rufa. Okay, unsolved mystery. We have someone who was murdered. We don't know who did it. So we go through the procedure of finding out which town is closer to the person, measuring to find out which town is going to, quote-unquote, assume responsibility. Assumption of responsibility means that the city that's closest is going to go through the procedure of getting an egla, breaking its neck, and then the zakenim, the elders of that city, are going to recite a couple of psukim in the Torah. So, let's say you go through that whole procedure. Okay, and part of that procedure, it's kapara, meaning the egla rufa, it provides some form of kapara. So now, let's say after all that, we find the murderer. You find the murderer. So now what are you supposed to do with the murderer? Gemara says exactly. Meaning that's exactly what the pasuk is coming to teach us. The only way that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide kapara is only by killing the murderer. Executing the murderer, I should say. Continuing. Again, more of the same basic idea. The pasuk says in Parsha Shoftim, you have to get rid of damnaki mikirbecha, meaning take care of the murderer. Mibayla lechaditanya, the Gemara says, that comes to teach us another halacha. Minayin lamumsim b'sayev shuum and etzavar. So the Gemara says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara says, how do I know that when we execute a murderer, it is with a knife from the front of the neck. Tamil lamar vata tavera damanaki mikirbecha hukshu kol shofchidamim le'egla rufa. Mala ala min etzavar af shofchidamim min etzavar. So the Gemara says, just like the Egla Rufa is from the neck, so too anyone who murders is also going to be from the neck. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Ima lahalam bekufetzu memul orif afkam bekufetzu memul orif. When it comes to the Egla Rufa, so it's with a hatchet and it's from the back of the neck. And meanwhile, when we execute, it's with a knife and it's from the front of the neck. It's not the same. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu, Amar Kra, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. The Gemara says, yeah, but we're not going to hatchet somebody from the back of the neck because that's going to be a violation of the Ahav Talarecha Kamocha. And so, in other words, so, right, correct. Do to him what you would want to be done for yourself, and of course, you wouldn't want to be hatcheted from the back of the neck. You want the front, so you give him the front as well. So, Barulah Misa Yafa. Can I share some interesting things about can I share some interesting things about Ahav Talarecha Kamocha? The you'll notice every time the Gemara quotes the Haftal Recha Kamocha, it's not like what it's normally what you would intend it to be. Meaning, if you open up a Rambam and you take a look, it's at the end of it's in Hilchos Avo. But anyway, the Rambam says, you know, go visit the sick and open your home to hospitality and Biker Cholim Gemilas Chasadim. Meaning, be nice to people, and you know why? So the Rambam says, "Avta l'recha kamocha." You know, the Rambam doesn't get that from the Gemara. Meaning, the Gemara in no place in Shas tells us that "Avta l'recha kamocha" is a source for any of the nice mitzvahs, any of the bein adam l'chaver, or like be nice mitzvahs. In fact, you look through Shas. Generally speaking, "Avta l'recha kamocha" is you could kill him this way, you could kill him that way. Be nicer. Do it the nicer way. Or one other area that I could think of is the Gemara in Kedushin, where the Gemara over there says, you know, before you marry, you got to see her, like one time. So just to know that there's some form of attraction, so that when you're married, so you're not going to hate her. And how do I know that? They have to lerecha kamocha. Like it's like the Gemara has the most minimalist conclusion based on the pasuk of Ahavta lerecha kamocha. There's a Ramban and Chumash. On the pasuk of Ahavta l'recha kamocha, the Ramban doesn't use this word. He uses a different word, but basically it's the same idea, guzma. The Ramban says on Chumash, it's Perush on Chumash. He says that it's an exaggeration, meaning that there's no way the Torah really expects us to love somebody else as much as we love ourselves. One of the reasons why, even in halacha, meaning I don't want to pretend like I know psychology, but even in halacha, that's based on the fact of chayecha kodmin, meaning that if given a choice between your life and somebody else's life, and none of us should ever have to face that choice, so whose life comes first? Your own life comes first. We have halacha of chayecha kodmin. So the idea that I'm going to love somebody as much as I love myself, it's just, it's, It's not possible. So the Gemara always has like this very minimalist approach to Haftarecha Kamocha. Like the applications are like really like small. Okay, back to the Gemara. So the Torah says that any cherem that is to be consecrated by a person should not be redeemed. Cherem is a very generic term that's used in the Torah. It describes something which is holy, or in this case, it describes something which is to be cast away, meaning has a status of, in this case, being killed. So the Gemara says, from this pasuk we learn out a halacha, but not a new halacha. Excuse me, a new halacha. Let's say someone is being taken out to kill. So, and he says erko alai, meaning, let's say right, Reuven's walking out the Beis Din, being taken to his death, and somebody says, look, you know what? I know usually we honor people, you know, at dinners and at. I know we honor people that, you know, usually are deserved, but you know what? Yeah, right, I'm going to give his erech. Now, everyone remember, erechin, it's a mesechta, it's also a pasuk in Chumash, we all have an erech. So an erech is our value, but it's not a value based on our actual worth. The erech is just based on two factors and two factors only. It's based on age and gender. That's it. So everyone's got an erech, but when we say everyone have it as an erech, does that mean even the person who's going to be taken out and going to be executed? Meaning we know that he's not going to live much longer. So does he have an erech? So the Gemara says, yes, he does. Minayin liyotze la'arik v'amar echad erke alai. Minayin shalo amar klom. Shenemar, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm ahead of myself right now. Right, this bright says that he has no erech. Kolcher asher yecharem en adam lo yipadeh. Sorry, from the pasuk of kolcherim that's telling us. In other words, this man is called a cherim. He's called a cherim because he's about to be killed. So lo yipadeh, he's got no value. No redeemable value. I mean that here so literally. I mean, I don't mean it like. In other words, literally, you can't try to give his erech because he doesn't have an erech. What about right before Gemar Din? Before Gemar Din, he has an erech. After Gemar Din, he no longer has an erech. Fine. So the Gemara says that's what we learn after the pasuk of Kol Cherem. Ula Rabbi Chananya ben Akiva Akavya Damer Nerach Mimnei Shadam of Ketsuvim. Okay, good. This is what I was thinking about. So the Gemara says, what about Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya? He's of the opinion that there is an erech to somebody who's going to be killed because erech is not value based on you. It's value just based on your age and your gender, and that's it. And this person, despite the fact that he's about to be taken out by Beis Din, he's got an age and a gender. So, according to Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, he has an erech. If that's so, what does he do with the pasuk? Haikol cher mayavet, let me buy lelechet detanya. Gemara says he's got another braisa, right? Another limud. Rabbi Yishma ben Osher, Rav Yochum ben Broko, Amar lefi shematina lemumsim, bidei shemaim shenosnim mamon, umiskaper lehem. You know, Misa b'de shemayim. So you can give mamon and you can be mechapish. And amarim kupa, you shed a love. In other words, there are occasions where you can buy your way out of misa b'de shemayim. No. I kind of knew that question was coming. And I don't. This is a very limited scenario where you can buy your way out. For example, let's say your animal killed not once, not twice, but your animal killed three people. Now, again, that's a strange scenario to begin with because already by the first time that your animal killed somebody, your animal should be terminated, should be killed, executed. But for whatever reason, your animal was around to be able to kill three people. The Torah says at that point in time, you, the owner of the animal, you are held to you are held responsibly by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But in that very limited scenario, you can buy your way out. Why? The Torah describes with the words "im kofer yushad alav," meaning that there you can pay a ransom to kind of get your way out of that misa b'dei shemaim. So yachlaf b'dei adam kein tamalam recherem and adam lo yipadeh. So the Gemara says, okay, if I can pay my way out of that kind of death, So maybe I can pay my way out of execution. So the Gemara says, no, that's what we learn out from the pasuk of Kol Cherim. So the Ainli Alamisus Chamur Shalonosnos Shigasam Lakapara Misos Kalos Shinitna Shigasam Lakapara Minayan. How about a Misa Kala? First of all, what is a Misa Kala? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says Misos Kalos Hainu Kol Misos Hamurs Baim Kares Alzdono Belo Hasra'a Yesh Kapara Bishigagasa Bechatis Kagon Avodas Kochavim Shabbos Arayos Inami Rotzech Sheyesh Kapara Shigagasa Begalos. So Rashi explains that when we say Misos Kalos, it's a strange expression. I don't know if there's any other precedent for this kind of expression. But Rashi says that we're talking about those types of averus in the Torah where had you not been subject to the death penalty, there'd be something else behind it. Meaning either a kares or let's say murder, for example. If I do a bishogeg, there'd be galus. So how do I know? The Gemara's point is, how do I know that I can't pay my way out of misos kalos? Shenisnu shagas al kapar minayin tamalamer kol cheirim. So the kol's coming to teach me that I can't pay my way out under any circumstance. Okay, that's Rashi's understanding of misos kalos. You see Tosus on the bottom. Tosus quotes Rashi. Tosus has difficulty with Rashi. See that for more discussion on the definition of misos kalos. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't need another drasha. Meaning, once the Torah affords me one opportunity to get out of jail free, or in this case, not get out of jail, but get out of death. But in other words, in a very limited scenario. So, that already tells me that, generally speaking, I'm not allowed to pay my way out of murder. So what did I gain from the pasuk of Kol Cherem? So the Gemara says, Kol Cherem Lamali. So Amarami Barchama, it's the rear. So the Gemara says, no, they're both necessary, and I'll tell you why. Saka Dachamin, we're on the top of Lamu Chesamad Aleph. Hani Milahechadah Guder Chalia, Shalom Nitnu Shigagasan Lekapara. I might have thought that if I kill somebody, derech aliyah. Derech aliyah, what does that mean? Meaning not in a downward motion, upward motion. We just talked about this the other day. We know that when it comes to being sent into galus, so it's only if I kill somebody b'shogeg. And the definition of shogeg is very precise. Meaning shogeg means that it has to have been not an accident, but and not perfectly careless, but somewhere right in the middle. Of an accident and just and basic carelessness. So, for example, the Gemara says that if I kill somebody while swinging the hammer down, now I have gravity helping me. There's a lot of force coming down. So there, I got to be very careful. If, let's say, unfortunately, someone died unintentionally in that motion down, then you're sent into galus. But let's say I kill somebody in an upward motion. Upward motion, I'm fighting gravity, right? It's so unlikely that I'm going to kill somebody in the upward motion, and I did it, that's like more karovle ones. Meaning that was, again, obviously you were involved in that, but not enough to warrant being sent into galus. So the Gemara's pointing out over here is that I might have thought that if I kill somebody, derech aliyah is... I mean, and we say kill, I mean with intent. Derech Aliyah is worse than Derech Yerida. Why? Because at least in Derech Yerida, there's a gullus possibility. In Derech Aliyah, there's no gullus possibility. So to which the Gemara is now saying, that I might have thought, Hani Milechad Argu Derech Aliyah Shalonit Shigasal Makapara. Ava Hargu Derech Yerida, Dinitna Shigasal Makapara. At least Derech Yerida, where? There is at least a possibility of there being shogeg. In this particular case, it's not. In this particular case, the person had full intent to do this. But at least this is the kind of act which would warrant shogeg. So the havamina would have been, okay, you know, shogeg is a possibility. Gullus is a possibility. Well, if gullus is a possibility, maybe so is paying your way out of it as well. So the Gemara says, kamash malan. Gemara says, that's the chiddush. Chiddush is? No. That under no circumstances someone who murdered with intent is going to be able to pay his way out. So the Gemara says, you know, All this we already derived from Tana Bechizkia. We go back three blot to Lamed Hay. We get to see Tana Bechizkia one more time in this perek. Tana Bechizkia, the Gemara quotes, Maka Adamaka Behema. Remember the end of Parshas Amor. The Torah there describes hitting a person and hitting an animal and putting the two of them in the same pasuk. It's called a hekish. So ma. When you hit an animal, you're always on the book. You're going to have to pay for the damage that you've done. Because whenever it comes to nezek, payment damages, you're going to have to pay under almost all circumstances, meaning it doesn't matter if it was a mistake, it wasn't a mistake, derech aliyah, derech yerida, you're always going to have to pay.
Different payments.
Right, I mean, compensatory to what you owe. So,
I mean, it's intentional.
We're talking nezek now. We're talking about damaging somebody else's property.
Right.
Damaging somebody else's property, you pay, period.
It's not 5 times because you're intentional.
No. By nezek, you simply pay. There are differences in terms of your animal having never done it before versus your animal being a muad. There are those kinds of differences, but generally speaking, commensurate to what the damage you've done, you have to pay under all circumstances. I said most, by the way, because ones, right? What if you damage ones? Meaning circumstances totally beyond your control, you damage. So debated whether or not, debated amongst the Rishonim, whether or not you have to pay. But anyway, Av Maka Adam Lo Sachlik Ben Shogin Lameitzet Ben Miskavin Shein Miskavin Ben Derech Yerida Le Derech Aliyah Le Chayv HaMamon Ela Pocho Mamon. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Tana Bechizkia teaches us, when you commit murder, so there, you're always going to be excused for monetary payment. Always, always, always. Doesn't matter if it's Derech Aliyah, Derech Yerida, doesn't matter if it's Miskavin, Shein, Miskavin, you're always going to be exempt from monetary payment. Doesn't Tana de Bechizkia teach us that there is no money that one is going to be paying if he commits murder? Meaning, money's not going to help you in any way. You're exempt from paying money, and it's just simply not going to help you. So, Ella Amar Ami Bar Chama Istrach Sakadach Chamin Ahanim Ilehecha Desimas Eino Vahargubba Avahecha Desimas Eino Vahargubba Davar Acher Ema Nishkal Mamoni Minei. So the Gemara says, well, again, we're just trying to generate a Havamin over here. Why do I need multiple psukim that seem to give us the same idea? So I might have thought, says the Gemara, that let's say I poke somebody's eye, and in the process of doing so, I kill him. So there is. I know it's going to sound funny. There's bodily damage, meaning eye for an eye, but at the same time, there's also ritzicha. In other words, there was murder as well. And there, I'm going to be exempt. But aval hechad esim esin of a hargu dava acher. But let's say I do the following. Let's say I poke his eye out. Okay, and then I also kill him, but from a different angle, from a different blow. So I might have thought the havamina would have been, okay, make the bodily payment that you did in poking his eye out, and plus also you're going to be put to death. Eman nishkol mamon minei. I might have thought that we should take money away from him. Amalei Rava hanami miidach tana debechizkia nafka. So the Gemara says even that point. That point has also been generated as well. We have another brisa, Tana de Bechizkia, right? The other Tana de Bechizkia, if you will, not the main one of this parak, but the Gemara quotes another one, Tana de Bechizkia, Ayin Tachas Ayin Velo Ayin VeNefesh Tachas Ayin. This is the eighth parak of Baba Kama. The eighth parak of Baba Kama, I mentioned this not so long ago. It goes to about two blot of Gemara, telling us how we know that eye for an eye does not mean eye for an eye. Right, the halacha is that if God forbid you, it doesn't have to be an eye; it could be any bodily damage. If I do any type of bodily damage, the Torah's expectation is okay. Whatever I do to you, you do back to me. Meaning that's not the Torah's expectation. Torah's expectation is that what does the perpetrator have to do? He has to pay the value of. So one of the proofs the Gemara says is that we know that is based on the pasuk itself. What does the pasuk say? Ayin tachas ayin, eye for an eye. Okay, it's a terrible illustration, but just imagine, someone pokes my eye out. Okay, and now, so let's say I read the Torah, I say, okay, Torah says eye for an eye, good. So I take a pen and I try to poke his eye out as well. Now, We're talking about not minor surgery. It's very possible that in doing so, so I'm going to kill him. And what you're going to end up doing then is not get to the quid pro quo of ayin tachas ayin. So the Tanna Bechizkiya teaches us ayin tachas ayin velo ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin, and not an eye and a life for the eye. Meaning that there's no way, there's no real plausible way that you're going to be able to do to him exactly what he did to you. So as a result of that, it's got to be payment. But what do you see from this pasuk? So that's his point. But what you see from the pasuk is that the you don't do two things to a person. Meaning, if there's death, there's no money. If there's just bodily damage, so then there's money. But once there's death, there's simply not going to be money. So the Gemara says we already know this point. And so, Ella Amar Avashi, it's the Rechsakadat Chamina, Hove Chedishu Shechishatar Bekanas, Afagav Demikta Mashalim Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, okay. Finally, the Gemara says, you're right. If there's death, there's not going to be money. And I do have already generated that halacha based on a number of psukim. So what do I need that extra pasuk for? So the Gemara finally concedes, Kanas. By Kanas, it's such a Chedish that even though by Kenas the Torah gives you a punitive fine that you have to pay, which is a total chiddush, nevertheless, if you're Chayv Misa, you're going to be exempt from the Kenas. One more question to ask. Ula Rabba. So, sorry, chiddush is a chiddush Torah, but Kenas. I forgot the mikta mashalim. Hai kol chere my avilei. Did I skip a little bit? Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. Ula Rabba damar chiddush is a chiddush Torah, but Kenas. I forgot the mikta mashalim. So according to Rabba, who says, no, you do pay Kenas and are put to death. Kenas is such a chiddush that it does not get subsumed under the death penalty. You're going to pay the kenas. So then, hi kol cherem my avilei. So then, what do you do with the word kol cherem? Because again, we've conceded to the fact that it's an extraneous pasuk, and so much to the point where, after multiple attempts of trying to figure out what's the purpose of that pasuk, we finally concluded it's there to teach us an exemption from kenas. But Rabbah holds there is no exemption from kenas. So according to Rabbah, what do you do? So savala kitanis kama de Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya. So he says, well, now what you'll do is you'll have to say that Rabbah knows how to get this puzzle to work. That Rabbah holds like the Tanna Kamma, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya. Remember earlier this morning, right? What if somebody's yotzei ledin? The Gemara din is finished, and he's being taken off to be executed. So can you pay his erech? Can you offer his erech? So Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya says yes, you can. But if you remember, the Tanna Kamma says no, you can't. So what Rabbah's going to do is he's going to hold like that position. Now he has a drasha available for Kol Cherem. And now, at least according to Rabbah, the puzzle fits as well. Okay. Adkan. Takes us to the end of the sugya of Kamlei B'Derabimine. And we continue now. We're starting now the next mission. One Lamed Chesam Adalf Narish and Nisar Samin Garsha. Let's say I have a Nara who goes through Erisin and then has a divorce. So this woman is, what is her status vis-a-vis Kenas? Take a look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah. She nisar sam nisgarsha, de'ilo arusa shlo nisgarsha, chayim misa v'ein sham Kenas. When it comes to in arusa, that did not go through a divorce, so the perpetrator is not going to be subject to the Kenas penalty. Why not? She's married. In other words, if the woman was currently in the state of Erisin, she's a married woman. So a man who's ma'anis her, so he doesn't have to pay kenas, but not for a good reason. Huh? Correct. But in other words, no, we're just explaining right now why the Mishnah has to construct a scenario where she underwent Erisin and Gerishin. So Rashi's just telling us, she had to have gone through Gerishin, because had she not gone through Gerishin, then she'd be a married woman. If she's a married woman and a man has relations with her, so she obviously, she's an anusa. Right. For her, there's nothing to talk about. But for the man who perpetrated the act, he's not going to be chayv kenas. And the reason why he's not going to be chayv kenas is because he's subject to the death penalty. So, to just even have a discussion, so this woman is a nara, went through Eristin, but now is divorced. So, Rabbi Yosef, Galila Omer, Ein La Kenas, Rabbi Kiva, Amar, Yesh La Kenas, V'Kenas Alatzma. Here's the problem. Meaning, she right now is in a stage of life where she's eligible for a kenas. But here becomes the problem. we know that the kenas is paid. But who receives the kenas? The Torah says very, very clearly. You give the kenas la avi hana'ara. Give it to the father. Why do you give it to the father? Because during her stage of nairus, nairus is halachically speaking it's a confused stage. And again, I'm not speaking psychologically. It's kind of like adolescence. It's a confused stage because during Nara, meaning on one hand she's an adult, on the other hand she's still under the her father still has rights towards her. So that is the that is a girl in her Nara period. In fact, the Torah says that when a man is ma'anisar, so who receives the kenas? The father receives the kenas. It's just simply evidence of the fact that the father has certain rights to her. The kenas is based on the fact that the Torah says there's a kenas.
There was a differentiation between people
who
live in.
Yeah. Oh no. Agreed. Okay, correct. You're right. In other words, she only is going to be entitled to kenas if she's a basula. In this particular case, the assumption is she is. She only went through Arison. Arison is only the first stage of marriage.
Is that true for people who live in Yehuda?
Okay, no. Right, that's a good point. Meaning in certain communities, we're not going to assume she's a basula. Right, the Yehuda Galula distinction. Correct, agreed. But right now, we're just going over the basic halacha. The basic halacha is that she's a basula, she's still a nara, she's in that time period where she can still receive a kenas. The problem is as follows, at least according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi clearly says she doesn't receive a kenas, and why doesn't she receive a kenas? So you take a look at Rashi, the other Rashi in the Mishnah. Time of Mefarsh B'Gemara, the Gemara is going to explain. Rashi makes a technical point. First of all, I'm sorry. The Gemara is going to go through why, according to Rav Yossi, she doesn't receive a kenas, which we'll see momentarily. Rashi then goes through a very technical point, and that is there were a number of cases earlier in the parak, notably the first mission of the parak. Right? If you would like to look back all the way back on Chavtes Amad Aleph, so you'll note that a number of those cases we're talking about wives of. Right? Eshes Achiv. Right, the wife of the brother, the wife of your uncle. Now, Rashi pointed out back in that Mishnah, but Rashi over here is reiterating and just giving us one more layer to the discussion. Meaning, first of all, she couldn't have been married at the time. If she were married at the time, so then you just had relations with a married woman. That's a death penalty. Right? The first Mishnah is looking for cases that don't have a death penalty. So Rashi, back in the first Mishnah of our parak, said, we're not talking about that they are married, we're talking about that they were married. They weren't married to these men, but then they got a divorce. But then we also added another point, which is that when they were married to these men, they didn't go all the way to the end of the marriage, meaning it wasn't Erisin and Nisuin, because had it been Erisin and Nisuin, they're not Pasula. And the Kenas is only for a girl who's a Pasula. So it means that the cases of the Mishnah are where they were married to these men, and only Erisin, not Erisin and Nisuin. Okay. Now, with all that in mind, now Rashi is just giving us one more layer to the whole discussion, which is this Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, because according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, once a woman goes through Erisin, she never is eligible to Kenas. So in other words, after now learning about this machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, so now you know that the first Mishnah can only be going like Rabbi Akiva. So it's just another layer of understanding that first Mishnah of our parak. Okay. My time into Rav Yossi Aglili, we start with the Gemara Makra. So, what's behind the opinion of Rav Yossi Aglili? The Gemara says, you got to go to the Pesukim. The Torah says, Asher lo arasa la avia. Asher lo arasa, ha arasa in la kenas. Torah seems to be very clear. Meaning, the Torah says that the one who is entitled to a kenas is someone who would never went through Erisin. Once a woman goes through Erisin, even though nothing else changed, meaning she's still a Nara, she's still a Basula, the only thing that changed about her is that she went through Erisin. Says the Gemara, that's enough. That's enough of a change to remove the Kenas penalty. So Rabbi Kiva, Shalor Asala, Via Har Salatzma. Now what's Rabbi Kiva going to tell you? Rabbi Kiva is going to tell you as follows. I agree, things change at Erisin, but That doesn't mean that the knas goes away. It just simply means it gets redirected. Right. Where does it get redirected to? Gets redirected to her. Meaning once she goes to Erisin, she now, the father no longer is entitled to knas, but she now becomes the beneficiary, the recipient of the knas. Elamiata nara v'lo bageres. So the Gemara says, really, interesting. So let me ask you this question. We also know that in order for there to be a knas, she has to be a nara. Why don't we make the following argument? Once she becomes a begaris, let's argue the following. Let's argue that there's still a kanas. She's going to be the recipient of the kanas. Hachanami delatzma besula v'lo beula. Hachanami delatzma. And as long as we're here, let's ask another question. Let's say that she's no longer besula for whatever reason, but someone was ma'anis her. So maybe let's argue that. Okay, there's still going to be a kanas. It just happens to be that the kanas is not going to go to her father. She'll receive the kanas. Ela legamre. But you know those points are not true, which we're going to discuss later, why those points are not true. But you know those points are not true. So if you know once she goes to, once she becomes a begaris, you know there's no kanas anymore. And you also know that once she's no longer a besula, there's no kanas anymore. So once she goes through erisin, shouldn't we agree with Rav Yosi Aglili? Shouldn't we say that there's no knas whatsoever? Hachanami l'gamri. Amalacha Rabbi Akiva, Hailor Asami Baila Lechid D'Tanya. So Rabbi Akiva will tell you the following. Your point is very good, but I'm going to combat you with drushas. Meaning, the Asher Lo Arasa is already used up for another drusha. So therefore, if I left the pasuk as it is, meaning the simple pshat of the pasuk, I would agree with you. But I need it for another drasha. What other drasha does he need it for? Gemara goes on to explain. L'chei d'tanya, we're not going to braisa. Asher lo arasa, prat l'na arasha, nisarsam, nisgarsha. She'en l'knas, div Rav Yosi Aglili. So in the braisa, Rav Yosi Aglili, consistent. Rav Yosi Aglili says, what happens when a woman goes through erisin? That's it, there's no more knas. Rabbi Akiva Omer, yesh l'knas, v'knasa le'aviha. Rabbi Akiva says, no, there's still a knas, and the knas goes to the father. Now, at this point in the brisa, there's still a lot more brisa that we need to go through. Not a lot more, but till the end of the Amud. Everyone just realized that Rabbi Akiva changed. Mm-hmm. Meaning, in the Mishnah, he says that what happens after Erisin, there's still a kanas, and she's the recipient of the kanas. Mm-hmm. In the brisa that we just read, Rabbi Akiva says there's still a kanas, and dad is going to get the kanas. What just happened? The Gemara later on will point out what just happened is that there are two opinions within Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, I mean, there's no way to resolve this nicely. Treitanai Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. But still, at least let's go over the common denominator. According to Rabbi Akiva, even after Erisin, there's still going to be a Knas. So, v'hadino sein. Ho v'aviyah zakai b'kesef kidusha. V'aviyah zakai b'kesef knasa. Because look, during a stage of Nara, dad is entitled. Meaning dad has rights to the daughter. And those rights afford dad the opportunity to get the rights to kesef kiddushin. Meaning, when a woman gets married, that for her is income. I understand it's only a one-time income, but that's still income. What happens when she's a nara? When she's a nara, dad gets her income. That's part of the rights of being a father of a nara. That, again, it's strange, it's unusual. Even though halakhically she's an adult, but dad still has the rights and still is able to collect that income. So v'avi izaka b'kesef kanasa. So if dad can collect the kesef kedushin, dad can also collect the kesef kanas. Ma kesef kedusha afa pishin esarsim nizgarsha le'avia af kesef kanasa afa pishin esarsim nizgarsha le'avia. In other words, if she goes through Erisin and then gets a divorce and then she goes through Erisin again. So I called it a one-time income. Now it's going to be a second time that she's going to get this income of Kesef Kedushin. That still goes to dad. So what Rabbi Akiva is arguing is that you see that dad still gets the entitlement of that income. So that should also be true by Knas as well. Even though she went through Erisin, still, but again, the case over here, it's a very limited case. She went through Erisin, she got the divorce after Erisin, she's still in a stage of Nara. So, huh?
Within 6 months.
And it's all this is within a six-month period. So again, I understand the window of opportunity for all this is very small, but still the point being is that if dad is going to be able to be entitled to the Kesef Kedushin, he's also going to be entitled to the Kesef Kenas as well. Im kein matam alam asher lo arasa. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's just ask a really simple question. The Torah doesn't seem to indicate that. The Torah says, when is there kenas? There's only going to be kenas under the circumstance of asher lo arasa, which didn't go through Eristin. So, but once you go through Eristin, it sounds like from the Torah there's no kenas. Mufna, to which, we're still in the Braisa. Mufna, the Gemara says, no. I need that pasuk for gzer shava. Lahakish lo ladano haiman, gzer shava. Ne'emar kad asher lo arasa, ne'emar lahalan asher lo arasa. Makanon afalalamun, nun malahalan shakalim, afkan shakalim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva needs asher lo arasa to create a gzer shava between ones and mefate. Ones, remember, we've done this a number of times in this parak. Ones is found in Parshas Kiseitse, mefate is found in Parshas Mishpatim. And the halachas between the two are similar, not the same, but similar. In that, there is going to be a kenas penalty. It's going to be 50, and it's going to be 50 shkalim. One of the parshas tells one of that pieces of information, the other parsha tells the other piece. The gzera shava creates a portal between the two, and that teaches us that, in both of those cases, it's going to be 50 shkalim. That's what Rabbi Akiva does with the pasuk of Asher Lor Arasa. It creates it for a gzera shava. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Akiva, it seems like he's picking and choosing, and it seems to be arbitrary. Meaning, the Asher Lo Arasa, don't learn anything for that pasuk. That phrase, I need that for the Gzera Shava. Besula, learn from that phrase. Meaning, a besula is going to receive kenas benada beula. Like he's like picking and choosing. So lam ches amud beis aim a besula gzer shava v'asher lo arasa prat le na'arash nesarsim nesgarsha. So as long as it seems to be arbitrary, so why doesn't Rabbi Akiva go in the other direction? Besula, which is found in both parshios, let that be used for the gzer shava and asher lo arasa. Let's learn from that phrase. Mistaba, the Gemara says no. Asher lo arasa l'gzer shava shari ani koreba na'ara besula. So the Gemara says no, because asher lo arasa is gzer shava. Because look, is she an ara? Yep. Is she still a besula? Hagam, yes. So Adarab, the Gemara says, okay, but that argument, what kind of argument is that? Besula l'gzer shava shari ani koreba asher lo arasa. No, why don't we use the word besula for gzer shava? Because still, we could just simply apply the pasuk of Asher Lo Arasa. Mistabra ha-ishtanigufa, ha-lo ishtanigufa. So the Gemara says, okay, it's not arbitrary. I'll tell you why Rabbi Akiva darshins and does not darshin. He darshins where it says Asher Lo Arasa, besula, and he darshins Nara, because those are actual physical changes. Meaning to go from a besula to beula means that she underwent a physical change. She no longer has a dam besulam. To go from Nara to Bogeris, remember just yesterday in the daf we talked about how when you go from Nara to Bogeris, so she also goes through an anatomical change. Right? Yesterday we spoke anatomically how she gets a little bit wider to go from Nara to Bogeris. So in other words, in those cases, those are anatomical changes within her. So that's where Rabbi Akiva says those stay here, meaning those are going to be open for drushas. As far as the Asher Lo Arasa, she doesn't go through a physical change. Now, halachically, she's married. Now, again, the marriage terminated. She's divorced. But that's an actual change. That's not an actual change in her body. All that is just a halachic change. So Rabbi Akiva says it's that phrase that we're going to take, we're going to use for the drusha, and we're going to and leave it just for the gzera shava. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yose Aglili hai svar manalei. So the Gemara says, now according to Rabbi Yose Aglili, he agrees with the conclusion that it's 50 shkalim in both places. According to Rabbi Yose Aglili, how do we know that? So the Gemara says, manalei nafkalei le midetanya kesev yishkal kamar basulos sheizeh kamar basulos umar basulos kezeh. So the Gemara says, well, it's very simple. Meaning, we did this earlier. He's got another drasha that teaches us that Mawar HaBesulis is coming to tell me that both cases of Pitui and Ones, it's going to be 50 Shkalim. And finally, the Gemara will conclude today with this. Kasha de Rabbi Kiva, de Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara says, Trey Tanai Aliba de Rabbi Kiva. Okay, so as far as the discrepancy between the two Rabbi Kivas, meaning Rabbi Kiva Mishnah says, what happens after Erisin and Gerishin? So what happens to the Kenas? The Kenas is still there, goes to her. According to the Brisa, what happens to the Kenas? Kenas is still there and maintains with the father. Okay, the Gemara says, is there a way to explain the discrepancy? The Gemara says, no, there's not. Trey Tanai Aliba de Rabbi Kiva. Okay, well, we'll pick it up tomorrow. Is what we're going to learn is... what's the rationale behind both Rebbe Akivas. Now, in other words, now we have two Rebbe Akivas to keep in mind. According to both, there is still a kenas, even after Eris and even after Gerishim. As long as she's a Basula and she's still a Nara, there's still going to be a kenas. It's just a question of who the recipient is. So tomorrow we'll start with a discussion of who should be the rightful recipient.